From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. The midterm elections are less than 2 months away. In southwest Wisconsin, there are a number of candidates vying for seats in the legislature. And across the state, incumbents are trying to hold on to their spots in Congress. Here today to talk about the November 4th elections are Joe Heim, he's UW La Crosse retired political science professor, and Tim Dale, he's UW La Crosse assistant professor of political science. So let's talk about the 3rd congressional district race here in southwest and now western Wisconsin. Democrat incumbent Ron Kind is facing Republican Tony Kurtz, but also Ken Van Doren, who ran as a Republican in the primary. He's now running as a write-in, as an independent. What are the major issues in this race? Obviously, there's a lot of things going on in regards to foreign policy. There's health care. What do you see as really getting voters to the polls? Joe?
Well, this is one of those races where you have a long-term incumbent versus a new challenger. So it's a fresh new face, basically. Ron Kind has been in office for a long time. He had a tough race against Senator Dan Kopanky, I think it was 4 years ago, a very Republican year. Since that time, if I remember correctly, his district has been redistricted more Democratic. Am I getting that right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's the district has now been, I'll say, gerrymandered, because from a fairly decent-looking district, it's now a Y. We now have it's just a huge district, frankly. We are now over in Stevens Point, part of the district. And he's one of the issues in the race for Tony Kurtz has been that Ron Kind has been in office too long. It's time for change. I think he's using an ad, has a statistic about amount of money that Ron Kind is getting from outside his district, which is a very large number, special interest money, that kind of stuff. So those are issues. Ron Kind is more of a moderate Democrat, occasionally votes for the Republicans. Tony Kurtz is, he's not a Tea Party Republican. He's more of a, I would say, conservative, typical conservative Republican running on defense. He's a 20-year Army veteran, if I remember correctly. He's a farmer, Prairie du Chien area, and a very attractive candidate in many ways. He's kind of learning the ropes. He's a little bit new to politics, basically, but he looks pretty good. This district is leans Democratic, and Congressman Kind is perceived by almost anybody, I think, as the favorite.
And Tim, Joe mentioned the amount of outside money coming into this race, which is something that we hear about in a lot of Wisconsin races. Can you talk about why it is that we're seeing a lot of money pour into third congressional races, the governor's race?
Yeah, well, congressional races, there are a lot of national kind of political implications, obviously, who controls the Congress. I think a really interesting question is about kind of why it is that people outside of Wisconsin are interested in the outcome of races that happen inside Wisconsin. And it typically turns a lot of voters off when they hear about how much money is coming in. Actually, many of the negative ads we're seeing for all sorts of candidates is one candidate accusing the other of getting outside money. And that's the big negative thing, although they gladly cash the checks that come in from the outside. And I think it's a really good question to ask, because I think it points to how important these races are, not just for politics within the state of Wisconsin, but also for the big ideas and the contrast between the candidates. So it is definitely the case that Walker's reelection is a reelection not only about Walker's governorship, but also about the ideas that Walker has brought to state government. And so when you have people donating money to Walker's campaign or donating money to Burke's campaign from outside of Wisconsin, these are people who have an interest in the outcome of that race, not necessarily because they care about what happens in Wisconsin, but what they care about what happens with the ideas. And I think that the big principal differences between the candidates is why we see so much money coming in from groups that are interested in those big principal questions.
And Joe, you said it seems like it could the third congressional district could safely stay in Democratic hands. Is that race, I mean, does it ever really get much national attention? Is it something that Democrats across the country really focus on in order to maintain their control? In order to maybe regain control of the House?
Well, the parties at the national level have two goals, basically. One is to protect their incumbents, you know, and protect what they've got and defend them. Second is try to pick up enough seats to take over. There is an outside chance that, at least in the House of Representatives, the Democrats could win. Is it likely? No, especially because this is more of a Republican year, at least historically. I think they need to pick up around 16 or 17 seats, if I remember correctly. I may have my numbers right on that. But you have to know that of the 435 districts in the United States, close to 400 of them are no longer competitive. They're designed and drawn to advantage the incumbents, basically. So you have relatively fewer chances of picking up a competitive race, and that's why the money all focuses on those races. I don't know how this works. There's some kind of a national network out there that funnels money to those races that look like they're competitive. And the money word goes out, send money to District 27 in West Dallas or Green Bay or whatever. You know, you pick out, because that's a competitive race. And all of a sudden, money will flow into that from outside places. And you wonder who those people are, where they're coming from, and why do they care? It's because of national control of, say, the Congress, basically. So outside money does make a big difference. Now, comment about Scott Walker, by the way. In addition to the policy implications of what he did over the last 4 years and why he's considered a national star, he is considered one of the four or five possible presidential contenders. For a variety of reasons, there's a lot of interest in his race because he could be conceived as one of the contenders nationally.
And so, Tim, do you want to add on to that?
Well, I think one of the things to add is that as much as people negatively perceive a kind of national attention, until voters start punishing candidates for receiving outside money, we really won't see that change very much.
And you don't feel like voters are doing that at this point in time?
That's one of the interesting things about this election is that it's been something that ads have been saying, but it doesn't really get a lot of traction. So voters are really concerned about the issues. And so the politicians being able to be bought and sold, it almost seems like voters have kind of accepted that people who are in politics are willing to cash checks from anybody. And I think it really comes to those policy issues. But really, voters have control over this. And if they start to vote against candidates who accept money, it will change. But until that happens, it looks like this will be a part of politics for a long time.
Is there anything you've noticed during this campaign season that maybe differs from what happened 10 years ago or so?
One of the things I think, and we've been talking about this for a while, is that things have become kind of hyper-politicized in Wisconsin. So kind of even related to some of those state races that we wouldn't necessarily think are kind of political races, the Secretary of State really being kind of a bookkeeper, Attorney General who's just responsible for heading the Justice Department. Because of all the debate surrounding Act 10, because of the recall, it's very difficult for anyone to kind of get out of the politics of the wider context. We see this at the national level too. So Barack Obama's embattled, Congress is embattled, you know, historically low approval ratings. And so on the one hand, people are trying to run away from their parties, but on the other hand, they need the money and protection of their parties. And so I think that's one thing that's remarkable is just how political the races are and also how polarized. So as Joe mentioned earlier in our conversation, a lot of people have made up their minds because they've made up their minds about the big issues that these races link to. And so I think that's one of the things that's remarkable about politics in Wisconsin right now.
Joe?
Well, it's one of the unfortunate things that seems to the direction of the country that we've nationalized more and more of our races. There used to be the old line about all politics is local. It seems less so than it used to be. There's fairly strong evidence that satisfaction with the presidential performance carries down further than it used to, especially through Congress and the Senate, but even into the state races as well. That's a change which I'm not sure I like, but it has certainly happened to some degree.
One thing I was wondering about, too, is how many issues and actions are almost put on hold because of the election season. I was reading in the Washington Post that President Obama said he's going to wait on any sort of executive decision when it comes to immigration reform until after the November elections. Is this something that presidents and lawmakers have always done, or is this something that has changed as we've entered this more polarized election cycle?
Okay, well, it definitely is something that that we've always seen. So one of the things that we talk about in political science is the electoral connection. So people who are in office will make decisions based on what they think will guarantee them the best chance of winning an election. And so they choose policies they think will help them win an election. They don't choose policies that they think won't help them win an election. I think with Obama's decision and other decisions like it, it's an interesting question because usually candidates can run on victories. So if you fight for a policy, obviously policies that succeed, you can run on them. Policies policies that fail. You kind of hammer away at why those policies failed. But the thing is, we have really complicated issues kind of at the heart of these disputes. So even though people have opinions about immigration, how to solve the immigration problem is incredibly complex. And this, we actually see this with infighting within the parties themselves, particularly the Republicans. Southern states, border states, have completely different politics around immigration than states in the North. An issue like immigration is a strategic decision in part because it is so complicated, and it's very difficult to tell how that would impact races. And so it's sometimes easier to not deal with an issue, particularly if in the case of what's going on in Congress and the presidency right now, there probably wouldn't be a successful immigration bill passed by the time the election happens. And so if it can only help and not hurt re-election chances of people in your party, and by the way, that goes for both sides of the aisle right now in Washington when it comes to immigration, chances are that people are going to stay away from it.
Joe, we'll see if Congress and the president actually addresses immigration after the election. But do you see other federal issues that Congress will need to really tackle after these elections?
Well, they have to pass a budget. That would help. They have not passed a single appropriation bill so far this year. They're going to come back and pass a continuing resolution to get it passed the elections, and then in December, depending on what happens and who controls the U.S. Senate, they will either push it off into the next year or they will pass some kind of a compromise bill of some sort. The immigration issue is interesting and reflective of a lot of interesting things, actually. It's very complex. The Senate, if I remember correctly, passed a bipartisan bill on immigration reform, which I thought was pretty good, frankly. The House, however, refused to take it up because a substantial number of their members do not want to deal with immigration. They're very much opposed to it, and it reflects, as Tim said, the split of that party on immigration, depending on where you are and who you represent. The president, unfortunately, said several months ago that he would make a decision on his own. If Congress won't act, he will, and he would do this by the end of the summer. That was a mistake because, therefore, everybody expected it to happen. If he went ahead with executive actions on immigration, a number of senators who are very, very tight races felt that this would disadvantage them and it would energize the opponent's base, basically. So my understanding is they appealed to the White House to put it off. He did. He's getting battered by both sides, basically, for doing that. But it's a political decision because he doesn't want it to affect the outcome of the election, especially the U.S. Senate races. But he will address it in December, so he promised.
Tim, I'm wondering if you have any brief final thoughts as we approach the elections on November 4th.
Well, I think one of the things kind of as a political scientist that we'll be watching is how this election is remarkable. So one of the things we've typically seen is that voting trends in Wisconsin have favored Republicans in midterm elections. The governor's race is very competitive. We're going to be watching turnout very closely. A lot of people are paying attention to politics. Big question, is that going to translate into turnout for the election? And so there are a lot of interesting things going on at the state and national level, and so it'll be an interesting couple of months.
And Joe, any quick final thoughts?
Well, I think a lot of this has to do with control. Which party controls Congress, which party controls Wisconsin, those are the big things. And even a broader sense is size of government. Underlying all of this is one party thinks government should shrink and be smaller. The other side thinks government should be big and take care of a lot of things. A very basic question, and that's what elections are here to decide.
Joe Heim is UW-La Crosse Political Science Professor Emeriti, and Tim Dale is UW-La Crosse Assistant Professor of Political Science. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. If you missed part of today's show or want to find other recent editions of Newsmakers, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers.